This is Idaho Matters on this Tuesday. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The James Castle House hosts artists of various backgrounds all year round, named after the self-taught artist who lived in the Boise home in the early to mid-20th century. The house allows current-day writers, painters, sculptors, and even more to break away from their daily routine and focus deeply on a project. The current artist in residence is Eric Follett. The Idaho-based writer and linguist is in the middle of his stay at the James Castle House, and he is joining us live in studio today, along with Kristen Hill of the Boise City Arts and History Department. Thank you both for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So, Kristen, first off, for those who haven't heard of him, who was James Castle?
James Castle was a fascinating person. He was an artist who was born in 1899 in Garden Valley, and he was born deaf. So he never learned any formal language. He never learned to read or write. He developed some communication with his family, but he really ended up using his artwork as his way of investigating and communicating the world around him.
And the Artist in Residency program is fairly new, correct?
Yes. The James Castle House has been open for just under 2 years. And so the residency program was a part of that from the beginning. Our first resident moved in May 2018.
So how many artists in residence have you had so far?
So we have two different term lengths of residency. Right now we have a 10-week and a 10-day. So so far, this Eric is our fourth long-term resident. And then we've also had four short-stay residents. So.
So Eric, tell us a little bit about the work that you do.
Yeah, so I came at James Castle's art with a background in linguistics and language and literature. And so from the very beginning, something about his art sort of spoke to me, or, you know, maybe I experienced it in the same way that I feel or think mm-hmm. about language. So discovering, you know, that he was a self-taught artist, that he was an Idaho artist, and sort of importantly, that he never acquired language, never learned English or sign language or to read and write. I sort of began to interact with his art as if it were sort of a representation of his linguistic ability, right?
Basically how he communicated, right?
Yeah, yeah. And sort of more than that, not only communication, but also specifically some of the same types of things that we do with language he did with his art. You know, for example, we all learn to speak our native language very early in childhood and use that same language throughout our whole lives. You know, throughout his whole life, he explored the forms and shapes and landscapes of his Garden Valley home, even, you know, while he was in Boise 30, 40, 50 years later. So I'm looking at his art sort of from this linguistic perspective, which is what my background is in addition to doing some poetry and some other nonfiction writing as well.
So, Kristen, how is Eric selected? I mean, how are the artists in residence selected?
So every year we put out a call that goes out on a variety of different platforms, and it's open to anyone nationally or internationally who's legally able to work in the United States. And applicants submit materials, including work samples and proposals. And then we have a panel that's put together that goes through and selects who they think are the people who are really strong candidates to help expand the way that we think of and understand and talk about James Castle.
And Eric, what was it that interested you in the Artist in Residence program with the James Castle House?
I guess there's sort of the obvious interest in having a time and a place to be able to explore some ideas and, you know, sort of the artistic expression. With James Castle in particular, you know, when I came upon his art just, you know, I think it was in October of 2018, the first time I saw his art at the Boise Art Museum, I sort of had this very strong reaction and interest in him. And so, you know, the James Castle House, to be in the place where he lived and explore sort of more deeply his art and kind of these ideas that I've developed about his art was very appealing.
I think what's so interesting that you said, you know, the first time you found out about him was October of 18. Kristen, that seems to be the case, frankly, for numerous Idahoans.
Yes, we have found that, especially early on in opening, there were a lot of people in Idaho and in Boise that didn't know about James Castle at all, had never heard of him before. I think that seems to be changing. I think, you know, with the James Castle House, and there's a lot of local interest and representation of sort of interest in his work with various organizations. So people, it seems to be spreading the word a little bit.
Getting a little bit more well-known, right?
Yeah.
So, Eric, your residency started in early February. It'll end mid-April. So what are you working on right now?
Yeah, so I have, you know, as we talked about a little bit, sort of a series of essays exploring some of the linguistic aspects of his work, at least as I see it. Then I have a series of poems based on sort of the place, the house, some Garden Valley locales, which is where he was born and lived the first 30 or so years of his life. And then I have a long series of erasure poems or blackout poems, you know, where you take an existing text and, you know, paint over or cross out or whatever certain parts of the text to reveal sort of a second poem. And I've been doing that from a book called Wood Smoke by J. Reuben Appleman and Troy Passy, this beautiful volume of poetry and visual art about the James Castle House and the renovation process. So a long series extracting or, you know, erasing texts. And
did you bring a little bit with you today?
Yeah, I brought a couple.
Can you read a little something for us?
Sure. Let me say, first of all, that these are also sort of visual arrays.
Okay.
And so they're meant to be looked at in addition to heard, sort of my small nod to James Castle as the visual artist. But yeah, here's one. Our landscape whittles us back until we think of us as cages or architecture.
What is it like for you to wake up every morning in his house?
Yeah, it's really nice. It's a beautiful space and a nice east-facing window, sort of southeast, sort of lets the sun in. There's this beautiful wallpaper behind the bed with ships and a sort of a seafaring theme that was also in James Castle's, the shed that he worked in and drew in. So it's kind of this nice space that you easy to kind of slip away and feel artistic.
Has there been something that has surprised you about this residency that maybe you weren't expecting to experience?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I guess maybe just in the same sense that James Castle's art itself is so surprising. Every time I've sort of looked at more of his work or, you know, read sort of the critical appraisals of his work and feel like I know what he was doing or kind of know what things he worked on, there's always just this vast amount of art that he produced that I sort of wouldn't have known or wouldn't have guessed at. So kind of that continual process of surprise and more depth to his work.
Well, and that's part of it, as you said, like so much, there was so much of his work that we didn't even know about. I mean, Kristen, during the renovation, that even happened where literally in the walls of the house, you found artwork.
Yeah, it was incredible. So the city found 11 pieces of artwork inside the house during the renovations. And it's amazing. There's a legal precedent with Castle's work that anything found is automatically the ownership of the family, and the James Castle Collection and Archive represents them. So they very, very generously gifted it to the city with an additional 50 works. So we now have a permanent collection of 61 works, which is amazing.
So how can the community see what Eric is doing?
So we have some public events. This Saturday, we actually have an open studio from 1 to 3 where people can come and see what he's doing and speak to him and meet him. He'll be teaching a workshop next Saturday, the 21st, from 1 to 4, where people have their own opportunity to do these kind of erasure poems he was talking about. And then there will be a final presentation April 4th, which is a Saturday, from 6 to 8 p.m., where Eric will be giving a little bit of a talk, a presentation. There will be stuff to see, and then a little bit of a reception as well. So.
And we should note, people can tour the house all year long, correct?
Yes, we're open every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 11 to 6. So anytime during those hours, people can come by. We have daily tours at noon every day. And we have a lot of really exciting special events. We have monthly ASL tours with an interpreter on site. We have a lot of things going on right now. And that's all available on our website as well.
Best part of this experience?
The time and the freedom to kind of wake up and just start reading and writing and making poems, I guess. The unstructured creative time.
Yeah, right? Because you don't get that very often, do you?
No, you don't.
I want to thank both of you for coming in today. We've been talking with Kristen Hill of the Boise Arts and History Department and James Castle, artist in residence, Eric Follett. Up next, we're going to be looking at a documentary about a World War II Japanese internment camp here in Idaho that has drawn parallels to today's political climate.